Well, good morning. If we have not had the chance to meet, my name is Blake Storr, and I am the Students and 1825 Director here at our Plain City campus. And like that video said, if it is your first time here or you have not been here in a while, we would love for you to go ahead and tap the QR code on the chair in front of you or head to lpguest.com and just fill out that connection card, just a chance for us to be able to connect with you and to be able to reach out to you. So when Lee first approached me and asked me about giving the message for this morning, my first question to him was, so what do you want me to talk about? What's the passage for that day? And his exact response to me is, whatever you want. Talk about intimidating. If you ask my wife, I already struggle with making decisions, right? Like, if it comes down to making a decision on where we're going to dinner that night, like, it's an hour and a half conversation, and eventually it's just like, I don't know, right? Like, decision-making is hard, right? But then my facetious thoughts started to take over, and I was like, man, I could make this a day that everybody remembers. I could talk about something, like, in the Bible that is crazy and kind of funny. So here's where my mind started going. I was like, I could talk about Balaam and his donkey, and now his donkey starts talking to him. I feel like that would be something that everybody remembers. And then I was like, oh, what about that time that Paul is preaching for so long, that dude falls asleep in the window and ends up falling out of the window? My plan is not to talk for that long today, to hopefully you don't fall asleep and fall out of your chair, but no promises, right? But the more I thought about it, the more I prayed about it, there was a certain passage of scripture that continued to stick out to me. I wasn't quite sure at the beginning why this was, but the more I thought about it, I was like, this is the passage of scripture that has stuck out to me the most in my life. It's a passage of scripture that has completely transformed and changed my life and changed who I am. And so my hope for each one of you today is that as we walk this passage of scripture, that you too will be affected by God's word. And before we get there, would you all go ahead and pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for just this awesome opportunity to open your word and to proclaim what we can see within your word. I pray, Lord, that if I have an agenda today, if I have things that I plan to say that are apart from what you want me to say, I pray that you would replace my words with your words so that everyone here is hearing from you and not from me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So little thing about me. I really enjoy Marvel movies. Anybody else here in that same boat? Anybody like Marvel movies? Yeah, I really enjoy them. But there's one particular character in Marvel movies that sticks out to me the most, and that is Peter Parker, also known as Spider-Man. Here's why I really like Peter Parker. Peter Parker is just this ordinary kid, right? He's this ordinary high schooler who has ordinary things in his life, right? He loves to read. He loves to put together computers. He's a real smart kid and exceeds in the Scholastic Decathlon team, right? He has just this normal life as a really smart kid in a high school. But as he begins to go through high school, his perspective on life begins to change. The biggest reason for that is when he's 14 years old, he is bitten by a spider. And all of a sudden, he has these superhuman abilities. He's able to climb on walls. He's able to shoot through on spider webs throughout the city, right? And he's able to now use these skills, use these superhuman abilities to help those around him. At first, when Peter Parker begins to gain these superhuman abilities, his first response is to kind of try and hide them, right? He wants to help people, but he also still wants to maintain and hold on to this high school life. He still wants to be with his friends in high school. He still wants to be on the Scholastic Decathlon team. He wants to do all the normal things that high schoolers are doing. But the more times he goes out and saves people, the more times he helps people, he begins to realize that his perspective cannot be the same on the life and the new skills, the new abilities that he has. He can no longer maintain his old way of living. Instead, he must fully embrace these superhuman abilities he has and begin to use these superhuman abilities to help anybody he possibly can. Today, through the passage of scripture that we're going to be in, I believe, and while looking at it, as believers, as people have put our faith in Christ, it is impossible for us to maintain our old way of living. And the way we're going to do that, the way we're going to look at this is through this lens, this main idea. It's a heavenly perspective changes everything. Again, that's a heavenly perspective changes everything. We'll walk through how a heavenly perspective changes our focus, it changes what we wear, and it also changes how you live. In order to do this, we're going to be in Colossians 3, 1 through 17. But before we get to the scripture, I want to give you a little bit of background on what is happening in this passage of scripture. First off, this is another letter from Paul to a church. We've been walking through a lot of different letters from Paul to the church. We just came out of Joyride series where we were talking about how Paul was writing to the church in Philippians is a letter from Paul to the church in Philippi. So Colossae is the church that Paul is writing to in the book of Colossians. A couple things about Colossae. Colossae is a city that is growing, kind of like Plain City, right? Like Plain City is beginning to grow. It's kind of the same thing within this church in Colossae. It's beginning to grow, and more people are coming to the city. Another thing about the city is that it has begun to have this intense interaction with Christ. More and more people are putting their faith in Christ. They're beginning to walk with Christ. But there's one problem in this city, one big problem in this city. And that problem is that although they are beginning to put their faith in Christ, they are not being able to put away, to rid themselves of their old ways. They are continuing in the sinful life they were in before they had this interaction and put their faith in Christ. I think it could be the same thing for us today, right? Like, I think about my own life. There are so many things that I want to do, so many things that I know are good for myself, but I find myself doing the opposite. I find myself not devoting myself to the things that I know are good. If you're anything like me, if you're sitting here in these seats today and you're thinking through your head and you're like, yeah, there's things that I want to do at work, things that I want to do with my family that, like, would make me better, would make me show that I am more loving to the people I am around, to my family, right? This message today is for you. So in order to get there, we'll go ahead and open up Colossians 3 and begin to see how a heavenly perspective changes everything. Starting in verse 1, it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." What we see here is that a heavenly perspective changes your focus. Paul is telling us that because of his faith in Christ, because he has come to know Christ and been in relationship with Christ, he no longer seeks or sets his minds on the things of this earth. Instead, he begins to look up towards heaven and set his mind and seek the things that are in heaven. It's the same thing for each one of us here. When we put our faith in Christ, we are commanded to begin to seek and set our minds on things that are above. We begin to see things and look at things differently. I like to think about it this way. If you want to be the best at something, no matter what it is, the best at something, if it's baker, if it's a teacher, if it's a sibling, a spouse, a family member, anything you want to be the best at, athlete, whatever that is, right? When we look at these things, we have to seek them, and then we also have to set our minds on them. We have to look at them differently. We have to practice. We have to think about them constantly and begin to chase after these things. And that's what it means to seek, right? To seek something is to chase after it, to go after it full-fledged without letting anything else get in the way, right? When we seek something, nothing is getting in our way. We are set on it. We are chasing after it. The other command we see in this is that we are to begin to set our minds on the things that are above. So that's more of thinking on these things, right? These things coincide so well with each other. When we seek and we set our minds on things, it coincides really well. So it's the same thing with our faith in Christ. We have to seek Christ, we have to chase after Christ and the things that are in heaven, but we also have to set our minds on the things that are heaven. Your question to me might be, Blake, what does it look like to do that? Like, what are the things that we can seek and set our minds that are in heaven? My answer would be to you is the biggest thing that is heavenly, the biggest thing that we're seeking and setting our minds toward heavenly is salvation, right? Is eternal life in Christ. We are promised that if we put our faith in Christ, that we will be able to spend eternity with Christ. Not only for yourself, but also for the people next to you, the people you work with, right? To think of upon heavenly things would be to chase after those people, to seek those people out and proclaim the gospel, proclaim Christ to them. Tell them about your faith. When we begin to tell people about our faith, then we begin to focus on the heavenly things, right? The most heavenly thing is salvation with Christ, eternity with Christ. So when you have a heavenly perspective, it changes your focus, but it also begins to change what you wear. Returning to Colossians 3, it says in verse 5, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." Paul is telling us here in this passage of Scripture to put to death our old life. When we begin to seek and to set our eyes on heavenly things, there's only one response to the sin that is in our lives. And that is to put our sin to death. When I hear that phrase, put to death, there are two big things that kind of come to mind. The first thing is that this phrase, put to death, is a command, right? There's no wiggle room in this, right? There's no loophole that we can get around. We must put to death our sin. It is a command. We are commanded to do it. Like I said, there's no way around it. We need to put to death our sin. The second thing that sticks out to me with this is that language, put to death. That's not a language that we use in our normal vocabulary in our day-to-day, and it's not language that we see a lot within Scripture. But here's what that original language of to put to death means. It means to completely X out, to completely get rid of, to have no traces, no even little bit of sin in our lives, to completely put it to death, completely get rid of it, so that it is no longer there. And so when we begin to put to death, we are completely exterminating death within our lives and sin within our lives. I like the way that biblical scholar Adam Clark talks about this topic in his writing. Clark states, "To gratify any sensual appetite is to give it the very food and nourishment by which it lives, thrives, and is active." What this means and what Clark is saying here is that if we give our sin any ground, any foundation in our lives, in the end, it'll take over us. If we give, it's either we give sin, we get rid of sin, or sin gets rid of us. We kill sin, the sin in our lives, or the sin in our lives kills us. There's no in between. We either kill sin or sin kills us. As I was thinking about this and thinking about how this connects to life, I began to think through things, and the story of Danny Jansen came to mind. And so we have a video on Danny Jansen and something that happened with him this year, if you want to go ahead and take a look.
As we go back to the second inning of June 26, and strike number one, as he fouls that back, and that's when the rains hit and shut down the ball game. And so we pick it up as a suspended game for game number one. And now Danny Jansen, a month later, traded to the Boston Red Sox. And here he is behind the plate in a Red Sox uniform and ready to catch the rest of what was his at-bat.
So basically, here's what happens in this clip. Danny Jansen is getting ready to play for two different teams in the same exact game. Here's how it happened. You saw in the video, they were rolling the tarp out, and they were, because rain was coming down, and the game was getting postponed, right? When that happened, Danny Jansen was a member of the Toronto Blue Jays. And so each day, Danny Jansen came, and he showed up and played for the Toronto Blue Jays. But when the rain came down, the game was originally scheduled for June 26th. But then they got it had to be rescheduled for August 26th, so 2 months later from the original start time of the game. So in that two-month period, actually a month later, Danny Jansen was traded from the Toronto Blue Jays to the Boston Red Sox. So now he no longer was a member of the Toronto Blue Jays. And so when this game resumes, Danny Jansen actually was at bat when that rain came down. The game was postponed. But now that the game is resumed, he's no longer a member of the Toronto Blue Jays. He now is playing on the Boston Red Sox. So he played for both teams in a singular game. First time in Major League history that this has ever happened, that a single player plays on both teams in a game. Here's why I think this matters. When Danny Jansen showed up each day to the ballpark, right, whether it was in Toronto or wherever they were playing that day, as a member of the Blue Jays, he laced up his cleats, put on his pants, put on his jersey, put on his hat, right? All Toronto Blue Jays colors, all their gear, right? He wore that jersey. But when he is traded to the Boston Red Sox, he now no longer puts on that jersey. He's lacing up his cleats, putting on his jersey, putting on his hat for the Boston Red Sox. He's a full member of the Boston Red Sox. If it came down to it in that game, if he was up in the bottom of the ninth with a chance to win it for the Red Sox, he's not going to care about the Toronto Blue Jays and the fact that he used to play for them. And even in this game, he actually was a member of their team until he got traded and the game resumed. Right? He is fully invested in the jersey he now is wearing, the Boston Red Sox jersey. It's the same thing for us when we put our faith in Christ, right? We used to wear this jersey. We used to wear this sin in our lives. We used to have all these things that separated us from Christ, right? Each one of us had, at one point in our life, was apart from Christ. We had to make the decision to put our faith in Christ. We had to verbally state that I am putting my faith in Christ and believe in Christ. Once we do that, we no longer wear that jersey. We are separate from that jersey. We now wear this new jersey in new life with Christ. We no longer would go back to that jersey, right? We are now in this new life wearing this new jersey because we are on Christ's team. We wear Christ's jersey in this new life that we have, right? So your question to me might be, so Blake, you talked about putting to death the sin in our lives. Talked about how it matters that we put to death the sin in our lives. Your question, and maybe the biggest question you could ask, is how do we do that? The easiest answer is you yourself have no ability to put to death the sin in your life. Like I said a little bit earlier, right? If it comes down to us, we will regularly return to the sin. We will regularly return to the world. The only way that we have the ability to be separate from our sinful lives is through Christ. Christ gives us the ability to be separate from our sins, to put on this new jersey. And we're going to begin to see in this third portion of the message on how a heavenly perspective changes the way you live and how that helps you to put to death the things of the world. Starting in verse 12, it says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Paul begins to tell us in this portion of this passage that in order to put to death the sinful things of our past, we must put on these attributes of God. And Paul begins to list a few of the attributes that we have to be able to put on the attributes of God. Paul tells us in this passage that we have the ability to be chosen, holy, compassionate, kind, meek, humble, patient, long-suffering, forgiving, loving, filled, thankful. And these are just a few of the attributes of God that we have the ability to put on through Christ. There are so many, like I look around this room and I see people who have different and other attributes that are even listed in here. I see leaders. I see people who have boldness. I see people who have peace. And so many other attributes of God that we have the ability to put on. And one of the coolest things I see, and as I begin to research and look into this portion of Scripture, is that each one of these attributes of God expresses themselves in relationship. And the commentary that I read that I saw this out of, it says, each one of these qualities mentioned in this passage express themselves in relationship. A significant measure of our Christian life is found simply in how we treat people and the quality of relationships we have with them. The biggest thing, the coolest thing I see in this is that, like, when I think about relationships, it all goes back to Christ. Christ made the first step in relationship with us. He came down as a baby, born in a manger, and we're going to walk through that in our next series starting next week. But Christ came as a baby and lived amongst human beings. He lived amongst us and lived a perfect life. Then he was crucified and killed, but 3 days later he rose. And through his resurrection, we now have the ability to have eternal life and be in relationship with Christ. It would have been so easy for God to be like, Adam and Eve, you sinned in the garden. Each one of us, we fall short of the glory of God. It's been so easy for God to be like, yeah, I'm separate from them. But no, Christ wanted to have relationship with us. That's the most astounding thing that I think about God. Think about Christ. That he wants to be in relationship with us. That he wants to have this personal relationship with us. And we now have the ability to be in relationship with the people around us as well. Right? We have the ability to express these attributes of God because of the relationships we are able to share with people. Right? And that's all because of Christ. So I began this message talking about how this passage of scripture has really had a huge effect on myself and my life. And here's why. When I grew up, I was an avid baseball player. Like, everything for me revolved around baseball. Like, Sundays, like, I'd be in church, but I'd be thinking about, like, the tournament game I had coming up at 1 p.m. and, like, how I was going to pitch, how I was going to play, and we were going to win that game, right? Like, everything revolved around baseball. When I was in high school, everything seemed to fall in line with me. Any sort of accolade you could have as a high school baseball player, I had. And because of that, I began to get this prideful mind about myself. I thought that I was untouchable. Nobody could touch me, and that I was a big factor on our team and a big factor on the team that hopefully was going to win the first district championship in many years for my school. And I began to get this really big head and think that nothing was going to stop that, that I was going to be the person that led them there, that I was the person who was going to be the reason why we did that. Everything changed in a preseason practice where we were scrimmaging. And I slid back into first base, and for some reason, my wrist popped and, like, immediate pain. Couldn't swing a bat, couldn't field a ground ball, couldn't do anything. And in an instant, everything in baseball began to change. Right? I wasn't sure if my offer was going to hold, like, because I overthought things. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to be out there with my guys. Like, everything that I wanted, everything that I was prideful in thinking about was no longer going to happen. And this was only in the preseason. And I was, like, beginning to completely unravel. I remember going one day, I went to the trainer, I was like, you need to get me on the field as fast as I can, right? I need to be back out there. Like, we are in such a good position to be a good team this year, and I need to be out there to make sure that happens. And so our trainer, much like I'm about to do, he said, you can do this. And so before each practice, for each game, I began to tape up my wrist. And the reason for this is that it would give stability, and it allowed me to be on the field and to play. At first, when I had this tape and I began to tape my wrist like this, like, I hated it because, like, the mobility of my wrist is so much different. Like, creature of habit, like, one thing changed and I was like, this is terrible. Like, I can't do this. But I knew that in order to be on the baseball field, I needed to have this. And so I tape up my wrist daily and go out there and compete with my brothers on the baseball field, right? And at this point in my life, like, I was so far from Christ. Like, I was not in my devotions daily. And although, like I said, I'd be in church on Sunday, I wasn't actually there. My mind was not there. I didn't care to be there at all. But then, for some reason, someday, I decided to open up my Bible and began to read, probably because I was at the low point. Like, I was broken. Like, baseball was no longer fulfilling me. And I came across this passage of scripture in Colossians 3:17. Which says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all the glory of God, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And that struck a chord in me. And my perspective on everything began to change. And I began to realize, like, I had put so much into baseball. And so what I began to do is I was like, I want to constantly remember this. So what I did, and you'll see a picture up there if you can't see what I'm about to do. I began to write COL 317 for Colossians 317 on my wrist before every practice, before every game. And what this did is it allowed for me to remind myself of the attributes of God that I wanted to put on. I was able, through this reminder, to put to death the pride that I had felt, the pride that had overtaken my life, and instead put on the joy and the peace that I felt from baseball when I was a young kid. Right? When I was in Little League, all I cared about was being out there, having fun, and then telling people about Christ. Like, as a little kid, like, all I wanted people to know was that I love Jesus. And having this allowed for me to put on that same joy, to allow myself to feel the joy I felt as a little kid, and to completely get rid of the pride. And it completely changed not only who I was as a teammate, but who I was in my life, right? Like, it started to bleed over to my life as a whole. And these things that, like, I had cared so much about, what other people thought about me, my pride, like, they began to wash away and began to be taken over by these attributes of God and living the way that I wanted to live. So for each one of you, my challenge for you this week is to think about your life. Think about a verse that means something to you. Maybe it's Colossians 3:17, or maybe it's another verse that has changed your life or has begun to make you think about things differently within the Bible. My challenge would be to write that verse down. Maybe it's on a sticky note. Maybe it's just on a piece of paper. But put that verse, that reference verse, or even you can even write out the verse if you want to. But put that somewhere you're going to see it, whether it's your fridge, bathroom mirror, your laptop, somewhere where you are going to see that. And when you see that verse, remind yourself about the attributes of God that you want to be. Remind yourself of how you can put on these attributes of God to love people better and do better within relationships. Would you all pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for just this passage of scripture and just the effect that it has had on my life and just the love for you that it has built up in myself. I pray for each one of these people here that you would just reveal in them the attributes of God that you have called them to be, that you have given them, so that they would be able to put away, to put to death their sinful ways and turn to you and turn their eyes towards heavenly things that matter. I thank you for this day and thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.